Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now that's all that we're going to read. Now we want to look at this subject tonight and use it to warn all in the meeting and to advise all in the meeting that there is an enemy that we all have to face. And I would think that the present generation, I think those who were older here would agree, the present generation, you young people that are here tonight, face greater dangers than a past generation. I suppose it's true that a past generation faced greater dangers than the generation that was previous to them. But this generation in particular has to face greater dangers than any that I've had to face in the past. And it's with that in mind that I have been thinking of these verses in Psalm number 10. Because we need to be advised. We need to be warned. We need to be alerted as to the dangers that we have to face. The Bible is very clear from the very beginning that the devil is the enemy. The devil is opposed to God and is seeking to wreck lives, not only of those who were saved, though we're speaking principally with that in mind tonight, but wrecking the lives of the up-and-coming generation. And in doing that, the devil is attacking God. You see, there's a verse in the beginning of your Bible which says that God made man in his own image. Man was made for the glory of God. God desired to come down and commune with Adam in the Garden of Eden. It brought delight to his heart, but the devil was against that. And the devil entered in and destroyed that communion by attacking Adam and leading Adam into sin. And hence Adam was cast out of the garden. So that the enemy wrecked what God had planned. Now I know in the gospel we preach, and rightly so, that when the Lord Jesus died, he restored that which he took not away. That is, he made a provision, or if you will, he opened the door so that men and women, young people, could get back into the presence of God. That's what the gospel is all about. It's how that God can welcome those who were unsaved back into his presence. And there is a welcome. That's the great thing about the gospel. There's a welcome for any in this meeting not yet saved. A welcome in heaven. God is actually waiting to give you salvation. When we read a little further on in the Bible, we read about the people of Israel coming out of Egypt, and Pharaoh, who would be a picture of the enemy, sought to hold the young people. God wanted Israel out of Egypt in order that they might worship him in the wilderness. But he didn't only want the older folks, he wanted the children. He wanted the young people, because the young people are going to be the generation of the future. And you see, the enemy, through Pharaoh, he knew that if he could keep the young people in Egypt, then the older people would just live their days, possibly for God, but when they would die, the whole thing would come to the ground. It would collapse. And so Pharaoh sought to keep the young people, and it's with that in mind that I want to try to warn young people today, because the young people that are here tonight are the generation of tomorrow. Those who will carry on the work of God. Those who will be responsible, and the enemy would seek to destroy your usefulness, would seek to wreck your life. And so I trust that there's a word for all in this psalm. The psalmist is depicting the enemy as a wicked one. I suppose we should emphasize that when the devil spoke to Eve, you know how he presented himself in a way that would make evil Eve think that he was seeking her welfare. And the devil said, you know, if you take of that forbidden fruit, you're going to be far better. You're going to be enlightened. You're going to be as God, knowing good and evil. God's restricting you. And if you would eat of that, your horizons will be opened. And you'll be a better person. Now that's what the wicked one is still doing. And we read here that he's sitting in the lurking places of the villages. In other words, he's not revealing himself. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. The psalmist can see that there's an enemy and he is well hidden. He's not revealing the danger, but he's there nevertheless. It's interesting that the psalmist is speaking here about the lion in his den. It's the lion in the thicket, and the lion, as you people know maybe better than I do, for you learn all these things at school and you have access to libraries and all these books, the lion waits for the animal to come to it. It hides in the thicket. And it has patience to wait. It'll not spring until the prey is close enough. I suppose there are three types of animals in particular that the lion, or it's the lioness, I think, that does the killing. There are three types of animals that it watches for. First of all, there's the very young, the inquisitive young animal who would wander away from its mother's side to see what maybe is over in the thicket. Curiosity. And it will get too close and it's gone. There's the old. And then there's the sick. Those who were sick and weakly. The enemy is seeking to take advantage of the young people. Now I know, we all were young one time, you know. Hey, none of us like to think we're old, but we know exactly what is in the young mind. Well, what I want to emphasize here in particular is to watch out for danger signs. Don't be going too close to anything that is doubtful. I mean, you can depict it in your mind, you can think about it. The young deer, for instance, and it sees this thicket and it's curious and it moves over and it gets closer. It just wants to know. And then the lion springs. And before it knows, it's under the power of the lion. And in its, the jaws of the lion has it, and it's gone. There are many things in the world, and you young people know this as well as I do, and you know there's a doubt about it. Should I go? Well, it'll maybe there's no harm in it. And I'll be able to watch myself. Look, if there's the slightest doubt in your mind, then don't go. If you have even to ask yourself, should I go? That suggests that there is a doubt. One of the big dangers that the world faces today is the awful plague of the drugs. And young people more than ever need to be on their guard 24 hours a day as to this danger. I spoke to a young man one time. He got off the awful habit of drugs, but he told me he was using hard drugs, and he told me he never thought that he would have reached the stage that he did reach. It started just for a bit of fun, just a wee experiment. But it got control of him. You're better staying well away from it. Not even to experiment a little. Not even to dabble with it, to see what it's like. I know the pressure is on. But behind that awful vice, there's an enemy. And he's not seeking your welfare. He's not wanting you just to enjoy yourself. He's wanting to destroy your usefulness for God. And so the psalmist here is depicting this lion, and he's waiting with patience to pounce. You notice it says, he doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. You know, the hunter, when he goes out to catch the animal with a net or in a trap of any kind, he has to put a bait in the trap. He has to make it look attractive, so inviting. You know, in the book of Proverbs, we read there in one of those chapters about the world, and it's depicted in such a way as it is calling, and it's attractive, and it's so inviting, and you think it's great. But the writer goes on to say, there's one thing it doesn't reveal, and that is that her guests are in the depths of hell. What we're stating to all tonight is, don't be dabbling with anything that is doubtful, for the enemy is waiting. And the result of dabbling will be suffering and pain and destruction. As you might ask, what way can we avoid these dangers? Is there a safe way? Well, Paul tells us the way in Ephesians chapter 6. He speaks here about the armor. Now, the soldier puts on the armor because of the danger. And in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul identifies the enemy. He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And he says, against the wiles of the devil. And I think if we're all alerted to this, it will help us that we need the armor of God to face the enemy. When you read down Ephesians chapter 6, the picture first of all is the centurion, we'll say, the man in charge of the army. And in the Roman days, the captain or whoever was over the army, they actually bought the armor for their soldiers. They provided it. And so the picture here is the soldiers are all out on the forecourt, and in front of each one there's the armor that their captain has provided, and he says to them, first of all, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In other words, he's saying, I have provided the armor. It's in front of you. Now you're to put it on. And he tells them why. Because of the enemy. Then he says in verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Is he repeating the same statement? No, he's not. The first statement is, there is the armor. It's provided. It's available. I have bought it for you. It's there for you. Each man has his own armor. Now in verse 13 he's saying, right, I've told you about the armor. I've told you about the enemy. I have warned you of the danger. Now he says, put it on. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Or in other words, without the armor, we will not be able to stand. There's no other explanation to this. There's no other way. You and I need to be protected with this armor if we're going to win the battle. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now this is a person being truthful. I know it could be applied to the truth of God, as we have in the scriptures, and that may be all right, but it's the person being upright, telling the truth. You see, the world thinks nothing about a lie. Governments tell lies. They might have another name for it. I think in England, in the House of Parliament, they talk about being economical with the truth. But it just means exactly the same thing. They're not just telling you all that you want to hear. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now this is righteous living. This is a wee word for us all. This isn't just for the young. It's for all that's listening tonight, speaker included. Righteousness of life. Doing that which is right, even though it may be costly. But this is the safe way to live, because if truth is lacking, the devil can get in. If righteousness is lacking, the devil has a way of attack. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Sometimes we hear this applied, and it'll be all right, that this is the person that's ready to preach the gospel. Well, we should be ready to preach the gospel, but that's not really what is brought before us. Because the enemy here is the devil. And we are not going to preach the gospel to the devil. We have no message for the devil. What it means here is that we have to have beneath us the truth of the gospel. For the gospel truth will preserve us as we go through a wicked world. For the devil would want to undermine the truth of the gospel. Then he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. This is your confidence in God. The shield of faith. We see it exemplified many times over in the Old Testament. Abraham had the shield of faith. He believed God. There were times he didn't understand how God was going to do things. Indeed, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3 about, or chapter 4, is it? About Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. He had the shield of faith. And notice what it says. Whereby ye shall be able to quench all the darts of the devil. There's a word I missed out. All the fiery darts of the devil. It's the darts that are on fire, done with pitch, and they've put a match to them, and the enemy would aim them at its target, and when they hit, they not only go in, but they burn. And what's it to do? It's to undermine your confidence in God. We need to always remember that God is working out His purposes in this world. Men that are in government, now we're not saying they're saved men, but God has permitted them to reach that position in order that they might govern according to the Roman epistle. But the devil would seek to undermine your confidence in our God. And you need to have always the shield of faith. And then the helmet of salvation. The helmet protects your thinking powers and how the devil would attack the mind. Oh, keep on the helmet of salvation. Every piece of this armor is essential. If one piece is missing, then there's a weakness in your armor. There's an opening. And you need it all, but this one is the helmet of salvation. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Reading the Scriptures is very important. I remember when I got saved in 1952, and one of the preachers in the north of Ireland, he used to exhort us to make it a habit to read the Bible. I wondered at it at the time, what way do you have to make it a habit? But, you know, I got to learn all about it. If you make it a habit to read the Scriptures every morning, you'll feel the need of doing that. For if you don't read the Scriptures every morning, even though it may only be a verse or two, if you can read more, certainly do it. But if you go out without reading the Scriptures, you're not going out equipped with the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Lord Jesus used the sword of the Spirit when the devil came to tempt him in the temptations. The Lord Jesus used quotations from the Old Testament to defeat the devil. And in order to be able to use the Scriptures, then you'll have to read the Scriptures. Then he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. That is, the armor is necessary. And when you have it all on and you think you're ready for the fight, he says, don't forget that you need to be praying as well. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So that what we have in Ephesians is the only way whereby we can be safe from this enemy who is out to get us and is waiting for an opportunity. So again, as we close, let me just warn all of us here, don't go too close to anything that is questionable. If there's a doubt in your mind, just say no. Go away from it. Withdraw from it. Because it just may be the enemy drawing you closer into his net. And when the pounce comes, it's too late, and your life could be in tatters. Now, I trust that this simple word will be helpful to some in the meeting. I've looked at it myself often, and I trust that God will bless it to all of us tonight in this meeting.